Welcome to Longitudes, a podcast that explores the macro forces shaping the global economy today and over the horizon. I'm your host, Brian Hughes. Today, our guest is best-selling author Jeremy Rifkin. His work explores how lateral power is transforming energy, the economy, and the world. You should check out his latest book. It's called The Zero Marginal Cost Society. It describes how the emerging Internet of Things is speeding us to an era of nearly free goods and services. As if he weren't busy enough, Rifkin is also the president of the Foundation on Economic Trends and the author of 20 books. He will speak at UPS corporate headquarters in Atlanta on Wednesday, February 24th, as part of the 2016 UPS Speaker Series. Thanks so much for being with us today, Jeremy.
My pleasure.
So let's begin. I think a good place to start is you talk a lot about this third industrial revolution. What exactly is that?
Well, let's put it in context in terms of an historical narrative. We've had at least seven major economic paradigm shifts in history. And what's interesting anthropologically is they share a common denominator. That is, at a moment of time in society, three defining technologies emerge, and they converge to create what we call in engineering a general purpose technology platform, an infrastructure that fundamentally changes the way we manage power and move economic activity across our value chain. And what are those three defining technologies? Number one, new communication technologies to more efficiently manage the economic activity. Number two, new sources of energy to more efficiently power the economic activity. And number three, new modes of transportation and logistics to more efficiently move the economic activity. So when communication technologies converge with new sources of energy and new modes of transportation and logistics, it does change the way we manage power and move economic life. Let me give you two examples. First Industrial Revolution in the 19th century, Second Industrial Revolution, 20th century. The British led us into the First Industrial Revolution with a coming together of communication, energy, and transport to manage power and move economic life in a completely new way. The British invented steam-powered printing. And steam-powered printing allowed us to dramatically increase the efficiency of managing communications. Then in the last part of the 19th century, the British laid out a telegraph system across the UK. Those communication technologies converged with a new energy source in Britain called cheap coal. And they harvested that coal with a new invention called the steam engine. Then they put the steam engine on rails for locomotives to create national railway systems and urban and industrial way of life. 20th century, second industrial revolution, this time led by the United States, again, another convergence of communication, energy, and transport. The central part is electricity, and especially the telephone, later radio and television. Those communication media converge with cheap Texas oil, a new power source, and harvested by a German invention, the internal combustion engine. And then Henry Ford put everyone on the road. Interstate highway systems emerged after World War II. So this second industrial revolution changed the way we manage power and move economic life. That second industrial revolution matured in 2008. It peaked in terms of its productive capacity, its aggregate efficiencies, its ability to actually move the economy. We are now on the cusp of a third industrial revolution, a new convergence of communication, energy, and transportation. And here's what it's all about. The Internet, which we all use, the communication Internet, which has matured in the last 25 years, is now converging with a digitalized renewable energy Internet and an automated GPS and eventually driverless transportation logistics Internet for road, rail, water, and air transport to create three Internets in one super Internet for communication, energy, and transport to manage power and move economic life. These three Internets ride on top of a platform called the Internet of Things. We are embedding sensors into every device and every machine across all our value chains that can monitor real-time data. Sensors in the agricultural fields to monitor the growth of crops, sensors in factories to monitor in real-time economic activity on the assembly lines, smart homes and smart vehicles constantly monitoring real-time data, warehouses, distribution centers, all embedded with sensors so that they can connect up and provide real-time data. That data flows through the system, this Internet of Things platform, to our communication, energy, and transport internets. And here's what it allows us to do. For the first time, the whole world's going to be connected on this Internet of Things. We've got 3 billion people on the Internet now. And within 20 years, everyone will be on the Internet of Things because China now has a smartphone for $25. Everyone's going to be connected. So it allows the human race to directly engage each other as one extended human family on this interconnected Internet of Things platform and eliminate some of the middlemen that have been kind of the intermediaries between all of us in the past.
I can definitely see what it means, especially for the world logistics and economics and businesses. But if you're kind of just sitting at home and you're new to this whole third industrial revolution concept, why do you think that person should care about this trend coming down the pipe?
Well, we can already see how people have benefited immensely from it. And this is what I lay out in great detail in the book, in the Zero Marginal Cost Society. What the Internet of Things platform allows us, this third industrial revolution, is to dramatically increase our aggregate efficiencies, whether in a family or a small business or in a community, increase our productivity, and this is crucial, reduce our marginal cost in producing goods and services. We're now reaching a point where some of the marginal cost in producing goods and services have approached zero marginal cost. This has meant the birth of a new economic way of life called the sharing economy. So what's happening is capitalism has given birth to this little baby called the sharing economy. And the little baby is fledgling, but it's growing up alongside of its capitalist parent, and it's creating a hybrid economic system. Let me explain in real terms. We've got 3 billion people now on the Internet who are now prosumers. That means they are still sellers and buyers, and they're still owners and workers, but they're also prosumers, meaning at any given time of the day, billions of people are producing and sharing their own music at near zero marginal cost.
All of the good music, right?
Well, you know, producing your own music with studio quality on a teeny little digital technology, it's very cheap. And then if you want to share that music with one person or a billion people, the same cost, near zero marginal cost, put it up on the web. So kids are also, and older people, producing and sharing their own YouTube videos at near zero marginal cost. They're producing and sharing news blogs, social media, contributing to Wikipedia, taking massive open online college courses, putting out free ebooks, and all of this as prosumers is being done at near zero marginal cost and being shared in the sharing economy outside the market. Now, new businesses are emerging, capitalist businesses, to set up the platforms, to set up the apps, to set up the analytics, so that the rest of us can then begin to democratize at least education, entertainment, news, and knowledge industries. What's new now is it's moving to the physical world. And this is the point I emphasize in the Zero Marginal Cost Society. The Internet of Things takes us from the virtual world to the physical world. We now have in Europe, and especially in Germany, where I've been working with the government for the last 10 years, we have millions of people now producing their own green electricity at near zero marginal cost, solar and wind. The fixed cost of this electricity, this green electricity, is plummeting. That's on an exponential curve like computers. You know, computers used to cost millions of dollars when I was a kid in the 50s. Now, $25 for a smartphone because the fixed costs have gone down. But in Germany, once you pay for your solar panel or your wind turbine or your geothermal heat pump, the marginal cost, the cost of actually generating the sun and wind, it's near zero. The sun does not send a bill. It means that millions of people are producing their own green electricity and sharing it across an energy internet. And that's starting to happen, especially in the west coast of the United States as well, but also in China.
So that's a great point. What obstacles do we need to overcome for, I mean, we're already seeing elements of this in effect today, but for it to be in operation on a wider scale, you hear a lot about cost. Is there something that are barriers that need to get overcome for this to be put into action?
There are very, very, very difficult obstacles in the way because all of our regulatory regimes around the world have been developed over decades, and they're designed for the second industrial revolution based on centralized telecommunications, fossil fuel nuclear power, and internal combustion, road, rail, water, and air transport. So those regulations are arcane, if you will, or they don't fit the kind of regulatory regime you would need for a new economic order that's part capitalist market and part sharing economy. And for a platform made out of the communication internet, the renewable energy internet, and the automated transport internet, this Internet of Things platform is designed to be distributed, not centralized. It's designed to be open and collaborative, not proprietary and closed. and it's designed to be to scale laterally with millions of people engaged, not vertically. So you'd need a whole new set of regulations, not tomorrow morning, but over the transition period from the second and third industrial revolution. You have to let the old regulations give way to the new regulatory regimes across all the sectors and industries. For example, car sharing with Uber or Airbnb in terms of sharing homes. There needs to be whole new sets of regulations that allow these new activities to prosper, but not at the expense of our quality of life. So it's going to be a challenging change in terms of regulations and oversight by government, for sure.